What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 19th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Oh my gosh, Sean Manaea, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts with 16 whiffs against the Phillies. This is the second game that has impressed me, and after the one against Atlanta, I thought to myself, okay, this is a good four-seamer command, good sweeper command. I hope he can take that with him against the Phillies. I'm in on this as my streamer, hoping for more. He's not at 88-89 anymore like he used to in the spring. He's now at 91-92, even though that did fall by the fifth and the sixth. And what was an interesting thing here in this one was that by the fifth inning, he threw an 88-mile-per-hour sinker and then threw only sweepers to strike out Kyle Schwarber. And then he went 6 out of the next 7 pitches as cutters with a sweeper in between. So what Manaea realized is that he's throwing softer. He had to adjust. He eventually got a double play from Bohm after walking Harper on those cutters to get out of that frame. And then the next inning, he hit, 87 on a sinker, struck out a batter somehow, and then said, I'm done. I'm not doing this again. 2 really nice sweepers to end it against Marsh. So yeah, there is that concern of the stamina for Sean Manaea. Is he able to sit above 90 after 4 innings? I don't know yet. There's also the concern that his command that I've seen the last 2 starts won't necessarily hold. You throw that in with the Nationals. I'm sorry, not the Nationals, the Cubs, and then the Jays in Atlanta. It's not the most ideal situation for Manaea, but you might want to jump in for the Cubs because then you would get a 2-step after that with the Jays in Atlanta. Not the most ideal again, but if he's looking good, that might be good enough for you. Brian Wu went against the Orioles. 7 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. Thank you. Thank you, Brian Wu. I almost led this with Ace is Gonna Ace, then I remembered, wait, hold on a second. I removed that tag. Why? Because, yeah, you haven't been good. You had 5 games of 4-plus earned runs, which is just not ace level. So just do this a couple more times, and then we're cool. Gage Jump went against the Angels in Sacre Verde, and we're like, okay, are you going to be good for this when you are going into the Giants after this? And yeah, he killed it. 7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. Gage Jump's number one problem entering the league was consistency. That is, his control was questionable in the minors. He had some very high walk game right before coming up. And he's had a 76% strike rate and near a 70% slider strike rate since coming to the majors. That was on his four-seamer initially, and he matched those numbers in this fifth start. It's pretty great. He kept his curveball down as well. He had the slider acting more like a cutter in between, not velocity-wise, but just as that strike pitch. And really, the next step forward for him is a changeup to right-handers. If I really do see that, then I get really, really hyped about Gage Jump. It is tough rostering him inside of Sacramento, right? He is going to go into Oracle Park, and then he has to deal with the Dodgers in Sacramento, which I don't want to do. And then he's going to host the Marlins, which is fine. So I'm cool with that. I'm cool with holding on to it. Yes, you can bench a guy for one game. It's all right. Joe Ryan, Ace is going to ace. He's throwing 94, and he's throwing harder secondaries, and he has a 75% strike rate on 33% secondaries, and it's just great. This is the best version of Joe Ryan. We've been seeing it for like 5 weeks now. It's awesome. Sean Burke also was awesome. He got the gold star in this. Why? Because he went against the Yankees, got a win. He did have an opener, but then returned 7.1 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. My gosh, Sean Burke! What? That's so, so cool. He had a golden goal, right? 20 whiffs, 39% CSW against the Yankees. So what did he do here? Well, against right-handers, it was dancing with the disco. That is the slider going going in the zone constantly and getting strikes there. And then you have against left-handers, the predominant lineup for the Yankees against a right-hander like Burke. Tons of four-seamers upstairs, and they were 2 ticks harder at 96. Yes, not the 94. That's what we love to see. Such a fantastic pitch for him yesterday, a high swing strike rate. And I hope that's consistent. We've seen it go back and forth for Burke. He does get the Guardians next, and he's going to face a lot of lefties where that four-seamer would cruise upstairs. As long as they have enough curveballs down, that should be good. So I'm going to put him in the questionable start tier for that. Ryan Weathers. You know, it's really interesting. Ryan Weathers went 6.1 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 8 Ks. That 1 earned run was, I believe, to start the second inning against Montgomery, who hit a home run just as Marith Marakovich was saying, Weathers was saying, I can't put the team in a hole. I can't allow these home runs early. And then, bam, he allows one as that's happening, which is amazing. But otherwise, I do want to mention, and there have been five starts this year that Ryan Weathers has allowed at least five earned runs. He's also allowed at least two home runs in five starts this year. The same starts. It's just that simple. He has a great K per walk rate. Right. It's like the noisiest of stats is home run rate. Yes. So believe in Weathers. Okay. Just believe in it. It's all right. You have Shane Drouhan, who I removed off the list, and it has sparked a lot of questions because I was initially in on Drouhan. I said, we ride with Drouhan after the first one. And then since then, I really had to recalibrate because what he does isn't that exciting. Now, it was five innings, one earned run, three hits, three walks, three Ks in this, which is fine. But it was also against the Guardians, who are not a good lineup at all right now. It's also 91 pitches in five frames, and the Brewers are a team that will tinker with the leash of their younger arms. And I get the sense that Shane Drouhan isn't destined to go very deep into games often or be pushed a lot. And what he throws is an 84-mile-per-hour slider, a 79-mile-per-hour curve with fastballs that are fine at like 94, 95. And that's it. And it's not as exciting as I want it to be. Right? It's okay. But then he's going to go into Cincinnati. And I just feel like that's not worth your time. And that's really why I moved on from Drouhan, because I had to cut somebody. And with the brand news, the news during the write-up of the list, that Kodai Senga was starting, and I'm like, okay, cool, that's something that might work out. It didn't. I totally understand. You can certainly add Drouhan for Senga now. Absolutely. But it's not really that great of a move. I don't know. It's very lateral. And Drouhan was the last one out from the list. Just because it was like, I'm not enthused by this. I don't feel like you have to hold on as he figures things out. You have Parker Messick, who clearly figured something out. Why? Because he went 6 innings and 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts against the Brewers in the win against the opposite of Drouhan. But the coolest thing here, oh my gosh, think of Parker Messick. What does he do? What does he throw? Well, you know, we've seen him at 92 at times, but you know, he generally averages like 93, 94. This was at 96 miles per hour, 32% swing strike rate on his 4-seamer in this one. Oh my gosh. He was just throwing it upstairs and they were obliging. You got the sinker underneath for a 42% called strike rate. And the thing is, the changeup wasn't even on point. It was fine, but it really wasn't. It was like a sub 60% strike rate, did not get whiffs on it. And he's supposed to always have that. So imagine if the velocity at 96 sticks with his high four seamer and then he actually gets that changeup down. And he's supposed to be a command guy. He's been a little bit worse than that command this year. Now, I am making a, not a fallacy, but like a, it's a trap to think that there's a new skill and he's going to hold on to that new skill as the old skill returns. It's a thing I constantly talk about. And generally what happens is the new skill fades before the old skill shows up again, right? And then hopefully they can build them up together. But who knows? You're just going to keep starting Parker Messick. And if he is 96 with that change of working too, oh boy, this is fun. Speaking of higher velocity, you also have Aaron Nola throwing 93 again yesterday. Thank you. Oh my gosh. You know, Aaron Nola at 93, 94 is just way different than Aaron Nola at 91, 92. Now, you also need to see command of those fastballs. And this was 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks for a dusty donut. That is not a good whip. It's a 3-6 ERA fine and then a no decision. But of course, you got the strikeout, so that's okay. He went more front hip sinker than usual. He was nailing it a lot. It was still an overall sub 60% strike rate on the sinker, but I do like that he was nailing that a ton, except for the sinker he threw to Soto for a solo shot. And then also he threw a cutter that was kind of bad in the first inning to Soto for another solo shot. So there are your runs. If we could believe that Aaron Nola is going to be able to command his four seamer and his sinker this well, and do it at 93, 94, then I'd be saying, okay, cool, we should be interested in this. But I don't believe that, so I can't. Treya Savage, he did something that I can't wait to tell you about. I'm going to tell you what Treya Savage did after this break. Treya Savage, I did a chart on my Twitch stream. If you don't know, I do a Twitch stream every single weekday morning. I've been bad at the time of it, but just check around 11 a.m. I'm always there. Sometimes it's 10 a.m. Sometimes it's 12 noon Eastern time. But I showcased why I believe Trey Yusavage should be throwing low four-seamers instead of high four-seamers. It's because he has the steepest attack angle, and it would make his splitter and slider that much better. Well, guess what? He actually did it to right-handers. Not all of them, but like I want to say at least a third, if not closer to half. And he went 7.1 innings of 3 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts against the Red Sox. That is awesome. And we saw this four-seamer down, but then the slider way down that would normally be just taken and spat on, but they weren't. 30% swing strike rate on the slider to right-handers. Now, the splitter is still kind of volatile, and there were some really bad misses on that, but 16 whiffs overall for Trey Yusavage. I really hope that this is the new version of him because I think this works. And against the Astros, who are right-handed, I would give it a shot. And finally, I could be in on Yusavage. 0 walks. Oh, please just get that four-seamer down. Shane Baz had a rough first inning against the Mariners in T-Mobile Park. He didn't have the best defense. He allowed a single to Naylor to turn to a double because he didn't field it well in right field. And then there was a walk, so fine, first and second, and then you had a double and a single, and then scored 3, right? So this marks 7 straight games, though, for Shane Baz of 3 earned runs or fewer. And keep in mind, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 9 Ks. That means after that first frame, that's 6 frames of clean baseball. That's beautiful. So hopefully this is something that Baz is capable of repeating. I'm not really buying that, and I haven't been buying it at all through the 7 straight, which maybe I should be doing, but 2.62 ERA, 1.16 WHIP, 21% strikeout rate. Obviously, the home run rate is lower now. 3 home runs in 7 games. There you go, kind of. So, you know, it's always about home runs. I know, it's kind of wild. There are a lot of these guys, I want to call it like the, you know, the lagoon in some way of just all of them. You could wade through and you don't know if you're going to get bit by the alligator of home runs or not, but like you can get through it fine and then you can be celebrating because you made it to the other side. But there's so many pitchers in baseball that are just defined by allowing home runs or not, and it's hard to really tell if they're going to. Now, 9 strikeouts from Shane Baz, that's really cool. He had the cutter step up and had an 84% strike rate, had all these whiffs, but it was kind of the same cutter I've seen all the time over the middle of the plate. It doesn't really add up to me. I want to say it's at Seattle, and that's really what helped. What didn't help him was having Brian Wu on the other side, who just didn't allow any runs, so there's your loss. But I'm fine rolling with Shane Baz against the Angels, okay? Like, oh, fine, but I feel like this isn't going to last, and I would sell high if there's any way to do that. Sonny Gray had a bit of a careful licorice. He went 6 innings of 200 runs, but then went another one and allowed a solo shot to kick off the 7th. So 7 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks for Sonny Gray. And yeah, just don't let that one home run ruin your perception of Sonny Delight. Now, it is Coors next, and then the Yankees. This was against the Jays here. It's, yeah, a harder sell. I'm going to do it because it's Sonny Gray. Like, Sonny Gray just kind of needs to do his thing, and he's generally okay. You have Noah Cameron against the Cardinals, who I don't think pitched as badly as the line. He got a win, 5 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He had too many pitches hang up in the zone, and he did have a high CSW changeup. It wasn't really this weapon down and away to right-handers. And I feel like that burned him a little bit because all the hits were the ones on high offerings because batters are just kind of looking there. I think it's a good enough version of Cameron, though, to go against the Rays. So that's fine. 12-teamers, I would still consider him a questionable start. We saw Ryan Johnson again. Do you remember him? Angels kind of promoted earlier this year. Some people had some hype for him, but I was just not really interested. And what do you know, it's 92-93 with a 6 vert sinker, and then his cutter and sweeper are higher, that is, they have more lift than that fastball, and then you have a splitter as your main offering to lefties. I went 2 for 24 whiffs. So yeah, it was 5 innings of 5 earned runs, 9 base runners, 2 Ks. You just don't want to do this. Sure, it was Zach Rivera, but no, you don't want to go after Ryan Johnson. And you have Matthew Liberatore against the Royals, 1.2 innings pitched, a 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Oh boy, Koufax did. You want to say like, okay, yeah, Koufax did not help this. He had a really bad 6 earned runs second inning. That was just getting singled out, but it was not quality from Liberatore, right? It wasn't him throwing well and it just, oh man, this is just terrible luck. No, he did not have a good game. It's also his 4th straight game of single-digit whiffs after going 4 straight of at least 11 whiffs. So be concerned about Matthew Liberatore. I don't think he's up to snuff for your fantasy teams. And neither is Jack Leiter, who went 4 innings of 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Man, he is the ultimate peas. Poor execution, awesome stuff. You don't want Jack Leiter, guys. Just don't do it. I really want Jack Zippo to appear, but it's just not worth your time. All right, that is it for today. Enjoy Jake Crumpler for the weekend. I actually will be doing the roundups for the next 2 weekends after that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Plus Pitch Podcast. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.